Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I've struggled just a little bit on what to preach tonight. I've had two different thoughts on my mind, and I think that's probably worse than not having a message at all, is having a couple of them. And trying to discern what the Lord wants. I trust that the Lord will help me to figure this out. If I get on the wrong one, I've switched before in midstream, and I don't know. Well, let's go to Luke chapter number 7 if you'd like to read with me tonight. So good to see all of you here, and I know there's a lot of visitors here tonight. We sure appreciate you coming out and being in service with us. I'd like for the Lord to give us something that we can go on with Him with. And maybe the Lord isn't altogether wanting to speak to our hearts for just tonight, but maybe the Lord would have something said here that you could take home with you, think about, and live for the Lord. I just want us to be faithful to the Lord until His coming. Does anybody here believe that His coming's near? It can't be that far away. And I want to be found faithful. You know, there's two things that we read in the Bible that the Lord's going to say to the servants that enter into heaven. And that is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'd like to be good. I would. Not bragging good, but I'd like to live righteous and right in this present world. I believe it's God's will for us to do that. And I want to be faithful. And you know, if God can't say either thing about us tonight, and our number's called, you know, I'm afraid we'll come up short. But I believe it's God's will for us to be good and faithful, even in this end time age, in this last day. Luke chapter number 7 and verse 24 is where I'm going to begin reading tonight. If you wouldn't mind to stand for the reading of the word. And I know that not every church does this, but I like for us to pay attention when the word of the Lord's being read. And sometimes it kind of gets our mind off of other things going on around us and to hear what the Lord has to say to us. When the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I want you to notice, three times the question was asked, What went ye out for to see? What were you looking for? What were you expecting? You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of the Lord. Three times. You know, I think it's notable. The Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And I know that is referring to if it's said two or three times in the scripture, pay attention to it. How much more when the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, says something two or three times. It caused me to pay attention when he says someone's name twice. Anybody remember when he said Simon's name twice? What he had to say to him about his future? Simon, Simon, pay attention. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Same thing here. He says three times, What went ye out to the wilderness for to see? What were you going out there to see John for? In other words, what did you expect when you went to see John? And then he says this, did you expect to see a reed shaken in the wind? They asked the question again, what went you out for to see? A man in soft raiment? Those that are in soft raiment and gorgeously appareled, aren't they in king's courts? What did you go out to the wilderness to? What were you expecting? I want to know what you were expecting when you went to see John. What had just taken place here in the scripture just before where we began reading is two of John's disciples come to see Jesus. And they were sent on a commission by John himself, who was in prison. He's right nearing the end of his life. He's just about to be beheaded for the cause of Christ and for right. Yeah, because he was preaching something that Herod didn't like, or I should say Herod's wife didn't like. And he was just about to give his life for what he believed in. He was in that place to where he himself was wondering, was it all in vain what I was preaching? And his two disciples come out to where Jesus was. And he said, you go ask him, are you really the one, or should we look for another? And they interrupt this meeting that Jesus was having, where he was teaching those that believed in him. And they said, the Bible says that in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities. He didn't even address their question. He just went about doing what he always does. He cured their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits and gave sight to the blind. And Jesus said, you go back and tell John the things that you've seen. And it gave John evidently enough to reaffirm that he really was the one. But when they departed, Jesus started talking to the men and women there. And he said, what did you expect when you went to see John? That's what I want to preach about tonight. What did you expect when you went to see John? Was you looking for somebody that would be, when a certain group of people came among John, were you looking for him to fit his message to their preferences or their likes, like a reed shaken in the wind, somebody that would be blown about with every wind of doctrine that James talked about? Were you looking for somebody like that? And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us the response of those people there, the multitude that was gathered there, but those that knew John, I can just see him in that company of people, and some fella thinks about what Jesus just asked, were you looking for a reed that was shaking in the wind? I can see a fella contemplating what was just asking. I can see a bunch of heads start shaking. No, that really wasn't what we was expecting. I didn't expect to see John just to change his message to fit the wants and the desires of the people. What went you out? What were you going? What were you expecting? Were you expecting to see somebody that was gorgeously appareled and going out there to see what old John was wearing? And I can see those men and women as they say, no, I wasn't expecting that either. He was a man unlike any other man. He came in the spirit of Elijah. He was dressed in camel hair, and he ate locusts and wild honey. That really wasn't what we was looking for either. And then he asked this question, were you expecting to see a prophet? And he answered his own question. And he said, yes. Yes, and much more than a prophet. He said, of all that among those that are born of women, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. God placed a call on his life. God gave him a miraculous birth. It really was. His mom and dad were past the time of bearing children. And we read about that, Elizabeth being Mary, the mother of Jesus' cousin. And we read about how that John was filled with the Holy Ghost, and his mother
mother's womb. I really don't even understand all about that. But God had placed a special call on John's life. And John lived up to the expectation of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he also, he made a name for himself, not trying to gather a reputation, but he made a name for himself because he lived up to be what God expected out of his life. And he also had this certain expectation by the people. And the people went out to the wilderness to listen to John because he was preaching a message unlike anybody else. He was telling them it's time to change directions. It's time to move places. It's time to repent. And repent just means change directions. Praise the Lord. And there was something so powerful and persuasive about the anointed Holy Ghost preaching of John that men and women who had been going in a certain direction realized, I need to repent. I need to do something different. And we read here that there was a certain expectation of the people when they went out to hear John. They weren't expecting to hear somebody who would fit his message to the wants of the people. And they weren't expecting to hear somebody who was gorgeously appareled and his appearance would be the attraction. But the attraction was the Holy Ghost power that was in that man's voice when he said, it's time to change directions. Praise God. And I felt like this evening in prayer that the Lord touched my heart with these verses. I wonder what people are expecting when they come into our midst. I'm not talking to just about anybody. I'm talking about the hurting. I'm talking about the ones that need a Savior. What are they expecting when they come to the Holiness Church? What are they expecting when they come in here? Are they expecting to be impressed by what we wear? Are they? I told you the story the first night of this meeting, how that Assembly of God preacher was talking to me on Thursday. And he said, we've settled for some things in our movement. And that is that's a movement that was born out of a Pentecostal experience in the Holy Ghost. If I understand right, the Assemblies of God, and I'm not here to bash any group, but I bet their origin is not any different than our origin. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes people have a common misconception about the Pentecostal Holiness churches. We all came from the same place. They organized their churches and came under some organization. That's really what it was all about. But they came out of the same experience that you and I have. They came out of an experience in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And he told us, he said, we've settled for fog machines and lights and we're leaving something precious behind. We're leaving an infilling of the Holy Ghost power. Praise the Lord. And with tears running down his cheeks, he said, Pastor, don't ever quit preaching that there's an experience in the Spirit. Praise God. I want to know, what are people expecting out of us today? I'm not talking about Grandpa's day. I'm not talking about Mom and Dad's day. I'm wanting to know what the world needs out of the church today. What are they expecting? I believe they're still expecting. If we still say we're holiness people, I believe they're still expecting when they come into our midst to feel that good old-fashioned presence of the Holy Ghost as it moves in our midst. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't want to settle for anything less than the Holy Ghost presence of God. You know, it really don't matter to me what happens in the service. I know that if God's Spirit comes in here, that everything that's done will be done decently and in order. Is that what the Bible says?
Praise God. I just wonder if we're living up to God's expectations. You know, I know there's a certain expectation that comes from the people around. And if we're not careful, we'll try to fit our way to the expectation of the people. We'll try to fit our agendas to meet the agenda of the people. But more than anything, I wonder what God was expecting out of this man that Jesus was talking about. God placed His Holy Ghost Spirit inside this man while he was still in the womb of his mother. He must have been a man unlike any other man, but he was still just a man. And he had to yield himself to that Spirit. He had to let God move on him. Praise God. And I told you about how that even John in the end was struggling with what was really right. That shows me that he was human just like us. And he still had feelings and thoughts like we do. But you know what Jesus said about him? He said among women there was not a greater than John the Baptist. Praise God. And that tells me that he lived up to God's expectations. I wish I could get past what man thought. I wish I could get past the expectation and the pressure that I feel sometimes from my brothers and my sisters and get alone with God and say, God, what do you want out of my life? Hallelujah. Anybody ever felt political pressure? We'd like to say it's all on the outside. But I've came to camp meeting before, and I've felt political pressure inside the church. Pressure to perform. We want something that's going to, man, get that fast song going so we can shout. And it's if we're not careful, we'll lean on the beat of the music. When sometimes God may want a Holy Ghost move when we're singing Amazing Grace. We get our expectations up, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with expecting a move of the Holy Ghost, but it's already been said. It seems like I'm repeating some of what's been said in this meeting already. It's already been said in this meeting that sometimes we try to fit our way of worship to maybe work something up. But I'm wondering, when I come into the house of God, what is God expecting out of me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's no substitute for the Spirit. Praise God. There's no substitute for living up to God's expectations. I just want to testify to you a little bit tonight how that there's sometimes God's expecting things out of us that are out of the ordinary. John was a man that was totally ruled by the Spirit of God. And that's because he yielded his life to whatever the Holy Ghost wanted. Praise God. Hey, we're not too good even in the Holiness Church to lean to some pressure and to bow to some political pressure. And if we do that, I want to tell you, we'll lose the Spirit of God like others before us. But I'm interested in what does God expect out of me. In revival years ago, all of y'all know, most of y'all know, the older ones know, my family, my granddad and Uncle Dan, grandmother, they from this part of the country. They've been a great blessing to this part of the country. I want you to know I certainly appreciate my heritage. Y'all know how that Uncle Dan had a nervous breakdown and had to quit traveling. God helped him toward the end of his life several times over that. But he attended the church there where Dad pastored at Blanchard for 27 plus years. We got in revival, and one night during that revival, Dad got to church. This is his testimony. He said when he was praying in the evening before church, God told him how to start service. That right out of the first prayer,
They needed to have testimony service. And so, came to church that night. Maybe y'all have heard him tell it. I may have told it here before. When they came to church that night, he opened up the service like he always does. Everybody come in, let's have a season of prayer, all gathered in the altar. And he said, while I was at first prayer at the altar, he said, I was arguing with the Lord and saying, Lord, that's not how we start church. But we was in revival, and he'd been telling folks to obey the Lord. You just do what the Spirit bids you to do. And I already told you, whatever the Spirit bids, it's going to be decently and in order. It wasn't out of order for God to ask him to do what he was supposed to do. But at that first prayer, he talked himself out of it. I don't think I'll do that. And so he had everybody line up. Uncle Dan was there that night, there the whole revival. He said he never saw anything like it before or after that. But we got up, and the dad said, all right, everybody come up, make a good choir. The men and women came up on the platform to start singing. And before one note was played on the piano, there was a fella that stood up first. And he said, Brother Lindell, before they sing, I want to testify. And he said, God moved on me this afternoon that I needed to testify. And I don't even really know. It's not that I feel like I've got something great to say, but I just wanted to obey the Lord. And he testified, and it's pretty good. As soon as he sat down, a lady across the church stood up. She said, you know, the Lord moved on me with the very same thing this afternoon that I was supposed to testify before we had a song. And so she stood and testified. Now, two things like that happen, and it'll cause the Holiness Church to kind of sit up a little bit straighter, especially when you're in a Holy Ghost revival. Praise the Lord. And everybody kind of started saying, you know, I can hear the congregation, well, praise God. God, help us. Help us to obey you, Lord. And then Dad walked to the pulpit and he said, church, I've got a confession to make to you. He said, before the church started this evening, I was in prayer and God moved on me that right out of first prayer, I was supposed to start this service with testimony service. And he said, the devil talked me out of it when I was praying at the altar because we just don't do that. Hey, do we ever get in a rut in the Holiness Church? We don't have a form. No. We criticize others for passing it out on a piece of paper. What's going to happen? But you have a night where you stay home sick from church, and you can almost watch by the clock and guess exactly what's going on. Well, it usually takes us till about 7:45 or 10 till 8 for song service to be over with, and they're probably taking up prayer requests now, and they're probably in testimony service now, and it's about time for the preacher to get up and preach, and now it's about to, we do it, don't we? Oh, my church, that's exactly what happens, and I'm not saying we don't have to have something to fall back on. It's not that every service is going to be swinging from the chandeliers, but I do believe with all my heart, it is time for us to live up to what God expects out of us. Hallelujah. He said, I apologize. I preached to y'all to obey the Lord. I've told you to obey God. And here the devil's talked me out of it. He said, but I believe we just ought to just keep on going with what's taking place. Uncle Dan said when service was over around midnight, he said, I've been in revival meetings all my life since I got saved as a young boy. He said, I've never been to a service where there was not one note played on the music and there was not one song sung out of the book or somebody asked to sing. You know what the only song was? It was when somebody, I believe it may have been Dad himself, got lost in the Spirit of God and did something he had never done before. And he sang in tongues that night. Praise God. But I also want to tell you, the man that stood up first, he did something he had never done. Under the influence of the Holy Ghost, he got up on the backs of the pews and walked to the back of the church. Oh, praise God. And when it was all said and done with, a lady that had battled lupus for 9 years,
got healed by the power of God. Hey, I want to tell you, church, there's no substitute for yielding ourselves to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo, praise the Lord. What's God expecting out of me? Am I living up to God's expectations? Is this something foreign to you? Is this something foreign to us, church? Talking about yielding ourselves to the Spirit. How long's it been since you were lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost? I'm really not interested in trying to work things up. Matter of fact, that kind of stuff makes me sick to my stomach. Brother David, we've been invited to preach in places. I want to be careful. I thank God for the invitation. But we've been invited to preach for places where they had people line up on the stage. And they said, we're going to have our praise team sing tonight. And they sang some praise and worship music. Y'all didn't fall on me, did you? And I've listened to those songs. And everywhere I expected to hear the name of Jesus, it wasn't there. Wasn't songs written out of an experience with the Lord. I hope you don't fall on me there. But that the new style just don't do a whole lot for me. But I was also at that very church where when they asked us to come up and sing, and Hannah's folks had came from Virginia there. Y'all know how Brother David and Sister Brenda worships. They just get in and have church. And I want to tell you this much. They got a prayer life to back it up. Man, I never been around a man like my father-in-law to get alone with God. And that evening where we were staying, I could hear him in there praying, oh God, would you give us a move of the Holy Ghost tonight? And I remember when they got up that night and began to sing that old song, When the Clouds Roll Back Some Glorious Morning. And makeup was running down the cheeks of the ladies there. And folks that hadn't been around the moving of the Holy Ghost in a long time, they had their hands in the air. And folks, the majority of the church didn't even know about an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about a church that still had holiness on the sign. But it had been a long time. Matter of fact, the pastor and his wife pulled me and Hannah aside after church. And they said, it's been years since there's been a Holy Ghost-filled couple that has came in here and just yielded themselves to the Lord. They were used to having 2 and 3 night revivals. We ended up going on in revival and having a monumental move of the Holy Ghost. It's not to pin anything on us, but I want to tell you, church, we're not too good for the Holy Ghost to make his departure because we're living up to somebody else's expectations instead of God's. But I'm ready to get back to the place where God says, you're doing what I want you to do. Woo, praise God. I asked you tonight, while they get us a song, how long has it been since God's been able to say to you, you're living up to what I asked you to do? Well, I'm doing some things to keep the preacher off my back. He won't bother me. He won't say nothing. Because I've learned the rules. I know what to... Matter of fact, I know the songs. I can sing every verse of Just a Little Talk with Jesus. No, it's number 92 in the hymnal. Yeah, we learn it, don't we? And I believe our children need to grow up knowing those songs. But don't get them past an experience in the altar with God. I want them to feel the Spirit of the Lord early. But I want him to know it comes out of the altar somewhere where God places his spirit and his call and his expectation on us. Oh, praise God. I want to tell you, the pastor won't always be around. The preacher won't always be looking over your shoulder. And in those times, you'll feel a weak spot and you'll fall to temptation every time if you're just living up to man's expectation. But if God's inside here, if his spirit's inside here, God will say, well done, you've lived up to my expectations. Woo, praise the Lord. Oh, I feel the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't have any idea I'd feel so burdened to preach tonight. I felt like last night's message was so weighty, and I was relieved when I got that off of my shoulders. But I feel more of a burden tonight than I might have all meeting long. It's time for us to get back to the altar. It's time for us to get alone with God until God can speak to our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder what Jesus could say about me. I wonder what Jesus could say about our church. I tell you the honest truth. I gave up on a lady. Who was it preaching about that, talking about that? Was that you, Brother David, giving up on folks? Brother Terry today. I gave up on a lady. She made a commitment at her dad's casket 5 years ago. She told the lifeless body of her dad, she said, Daddy, I plan on meeting you in heaven. And I didn't know this, but she also told her mom, I'll try to take you to church. 80-something years old. Early 80s, her mom is. She's in her 60s. 5 years, every Sunday morning, that woman's came to the house of the Lord. And I just about gave up on her, Brother David. I saw the Holy Ghost move and reach for her so many times. But here about 3 or 4 Sundays ago, 5 Sundays ago, I don't know. It may have been longer than that. Time gets away from me. I felt the anointing come on me, but I wasn't even looking toward her. I was looking behind her at a family that's hurting. As soon as I gave the invitation and I could feel the Spirit there, she comes out of her seat. She said, about where Brother James Fulcher is in our congregation, every Sunday, Brother David and that woman came down, wept and cried, had a horrible reputation. Had 4 or 5 husbands. Somebody that I just marked off. But the Spirit of the Lord got in that service that day. Oh, hallelujah. She came up out of the altar. She was rejoicing, saying, I've got it. Glory. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, there's no substitute for that right there. It wasn't in me. I promise you it wasn't in me. It was the church saying, God, have your perfect way. How long has it been since somebody's been able to come in those doors and feel that drawing of the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. At 5 years, she said, the Lord's been working on me for a long time. But she said, just this morning, I finally believed that God can save my soul. And the Lord willing, here next Sunday night, we're going to go down to the river and we're going to put her under the water. She's been testifying every service and saying, God's made a difference in my life. Hey, church, how long has it been since we've yielded ourselves to the Lord, to the place to where when the hurting comes in, they can feel that pull to go down to an old-fashioned altar and get things right in their heart. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Are we living up to God's expectation?
You know, the nominal churches have programs. I've had folks ask me, what do you have to offer the kids? We got Sunday school. Yeah, I know, but when the adults are worshiping the Lord, what do you got to offer the children? Well, children come in, house of the Lord, worship with mom and dad. What do they do during preaching? Maybe y'all ain't been asked that before. And there's been times I've felt a little bit intimidated about that. Just being honest with you. You know, the church down the road, they got a pizza party and they got all these social gatherings, and man, you know, it's just hard to keep a kid's attention nowadays. And I'll agree with you right there. It is hard to keep a kid's attention. But the Spirit of the Lord's never been intended to be a competitor of the entertainment of this world. The church has never been intended to be. Because if that's the area where we're going to fail. Number one, we don't have the resources. We may, but we're not going to put our resources there. The only thing that the holiness people has ever been able to offer is there's a feeling that comes in our midst every once in a while. It's like the wind. We don't control where it comes from. We don't control where it's going. But every once in a while, God's Holy Ghost begins to blow over us. And all sister so-and-so yields herself to the presence of Almighty God. And lives are drawn to God. Oh, praise God. Did anybody else feel that when Sister Carmen got up and began to tell us today about a God that's awesome, that'll carry you through the darkness? Oh, praise God. Don't quit it, Sister Carmen. But I want to know, is there any young ladies that are following in those footsteps? Is there anybody that would say, I want to be yielded to God too? Woo, praise God. I just felt that old-fashioned presence of the Lord sweep in here. Young people, I want to tell you, you can have it. You can have an experience with the Lord. Anybody else want to keep every young person in this church in the presence of the Lord? I do. I don't want to take a chance that maybe when they get in their 20s, they'll look back and say, I want what Dad had. But I want to tell them right now, you can have the Holy Ghost in your life. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you just respond to the Spirit that's here right now? If you want a closer walk with the Lord, make your way down to this altar and say, God, I want to yield me to you. Praise the Lord. Come on, young people. Hide yourself in the altar of God and see if God won't do for you what He did for mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. And in 2017, God moved for you. Praise the Lord. I'm through preaching. Obey the Lord. Obey the Spirit. Do what the Spirit wants you to do. Brother David, can you come sing It's Real? What song? Talk about feeling the Holy Ghost. Somebody sing that song. Ah, hallelujah. Come on back up here, brother, if you would. Ah, praise the Lord. Did y'all feel that when he got up here to sing tonight? Ah, praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. There's no substitute for that right there. Oh, praise the God. I could tell when he got up here that he wasn't up here to impress one of us. And he shut his eyes and yielded himself to the Spirit of God. That's what I want. Praise God. Woo, praise the Lord. Obey the Lord. Sing when you're ready. Hallelujah. If we could somehow just yield ourselves to the Lord, there's no telling what God might do in this altar service tonight. Get your mind off of everybody else. We've got plenty to distract us outside. But what happens right here is the most important thing.
Woo, praise the Lord. Make room for these young people. Y'all come on up. I want these young folks to know I'm for you. You can have a move of the Holy Ghost. You can have an experience with God for yourself. I don't care how you come. If you want to kneel at the altar, we'll pray with you. Just come on up. Praise God. Are we for Him, church? Do you want to see Him move forward with God? I believe it's God's divine will to have a church in 2017. Hallelujah.
Talk about a child being born again. It's real, it's real. Talk about a child being born again. It's real, it's real. Hell, talk about a child being born again. It's real, it's real. It's real, real, real in my soul. Hell, talk about feeling the power of God. It's real, it's real.
The Ghost would be grieved if somebody don't obey the Lord right here tonight. I really feel that way.